Usually, the devil's intent is to get us to depart from our call. You know that we all have a call?
Yes.
You know the gifts and calling of God are without him changing his mind? You know that God holds us responsible for our call. He will lead us in the way, but he's not changing his mind. And he is holding us accountable to walk in our call, to fulfill our call, so that when we stand before him, he wants to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So is that going to happen in the trajectory that we're on right now? Is that where it's going? I don't know. I got to ask myself. So that's an important question. So is the road we're on now taking us to the place where we want to end up? And so we know the devil is gaining ground when Proverbs 18:1 happens. This is a great verse. They're all great, but this is especially great for tonight because it's the one we're talking about. Okay, this is what it says. Through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. What in the world does that mean? Okay, do we have a different version out there?
Spanish.
Hermano, puedo leer el versículo en español y yo lo traduzco al inglés y yo creo que va a salir bien así.
Okay.
All right, who has a different version? Okay, could you read that, please?
An unfriendly man pursues selfish ends. He defies all sound judgment.
Okay. Yeah, that's the idea. Like somebody who the devil has, you know, been working on, brings him to a place where he convinces him that he needs to go in another direction, and he will have all kinds of wisdom to excuse himself and have a good reason for his withdrawing from the plan of God to go do what he wants. I mean, that's what it means. We can become very creative in making up reasons why we need to be doing something other than what we're really supposed to be doing. Mm. So I didn't mean it to be complicated, if it was. So we read about excuses here, and there are a number of things that God says stop saying in the Bible. God says stop it, stop saying that. For example, Jeremiah 1:7. Jeremiah is maybe an older teenager, and God calls him, and he says, I am but a child. God says, don't say you're a child. As Pastor Shibeli would say, knock it off. Knock it off. But God, I'm just a child. Like him. Listen, if God calls us to do something, then God figures that we're, you know, big enough to take it on by his grace. So he says, stop making the excuse, you know, like Moses, you got the wrong guy, I can't do it, I can't speak well, Pharaoh won't listen to me, and then why don't you just ask my brother? And God got very angry. And we can expect God to call us to do things that we can't do, because if we could do them, then we're aiming too low, because it takes God to do it. I remember the call to Ecuador. You can think about it at every stage. When God, after I graduated from Bible school, I always had it in my head and in my heart that I was going to be a pastor. But after I graduated, I asked myself, well, how do you know you're supposed to be a pastor? And all of a sudden, I was like in this crisis in my life. Like, yeah, what if this whole thing has just been me all along? And so I said, I know what I'll do. I'll ask my dear friend, Pastor Palmer. Because Pastor Palmer's a straight shooting guy. Anyone know Pastor? Did anyone?
Yes.
You know Pastor Palmer? Sure. Mm-hmm. Pastor Palmer was a former bank president. And for a while, he had the job of being the hatchet man. When the bank in New Jersey wanted someone fired, they would send Pastor Palmer. He wasn't Pastor Palmer then. John Palmer. Fire those people. And he'd just go with his wingtip shoes on. It, you know, he'd walk up and he'd give you that smile with those laser beam blue eyes. He'd give you that smile and he'd just tell you what you needed to hear. I mean, he did that as a pastor. He wasn't a hatchet man anymore, but he was kind of a grace hatchet man. And so I said, okay, I'll ask Pastor Palmer because he will speak straight to me. Okay, Pastor Palmer, can we go out to eat because I really want to meet with you? And sure. Okay, so here's the moment. Pastor Palmer, I don't know if I'm supposed to be a pastor. I always thought that I was, but I'm not so sure now, and I'm kind of having second thoughts about it. So, you know, you've been my pastor for a while, and so, you know, please tell me. Mm-hmm. And with all wisdom, he said, John, how am I supposed to know? He did. He said, how am I supposed to know? You need to ask God. I'm thinking, thanks a lot. You know. So, in my desperation, I prayed and I said, Lord, really desperate to know, I said, Lord, if you want me to be a pastor, then you speak through, and I named three people, three pastors. And I said, I want you to speak through one of these men to tell me. So it was the next week, and I went into the cafeteria, and there was just a couple seats that were empty, and I saw a table over here with a seat, and I went over to sit down, and one of the three pastors was at the table. And I said, can I sit here? Sure, sit down. And I sat down, and he said to me, so when are you going to be ordained? And I heard what he said, but I said, what? Because I had to hear it again. And he said, so when are you going to be ordained? And I said, you really think I should be? And he said, of course. And then I told him. And so it happened. But there was great discouragement along the way to that point. And then and after graduating and after that, I had been preparing to go to Ecuador as a missionary. And then I thought, well, how do I know I'm supposed to go to Ecuador? Like maybe this is, okay, I was in the Peace Corps and I served there and I speak Spanish and I know people and I got connections and I've been there half a dozen times and, you know, so it's like, so what? What does that mean? How do you know God's calling you? And so I prayed again and God was faithful. And I remember the resistance that I got on the way to get there. I remember finally leaving on the plane with my wife and at that time two children and with a team, small team member, another family with kids and another single widow woman, Aline Loud, precious. And I remember on the airplane, I couldn't hardly speak. It felt like there were demons sitting on my chest. It was that heavy. And I'm laying on the seat. There were empty seats next to me. I'm laying on the seat and I just said, God, if you don't help me, you know. I think it was the only flight I took that I didn't pray we would get there safely. Because I figured at least if the plane crashed, maybe I'd be a martyr or something on my way to the mission field. So I just cried out to the Lord and said, please help. And all I remember is when the wheels of the plane touched the runway in Guayaquil, Ecuador, it just all went away. Aww. And it was absolutely beautiful. So the devil wants to discourage us and, you know, God isn't buying, I'm just a child. Send someone else. We read in John 4:35, this is regarding soul winning. How many went soul winning today? I know maybe most had to work, but we had the chance to go. And that's fertile soil up there, down there, in North Miami, or wherever we were. Because I don't recall ever evangelizing somewhere where so many people said thank you for giving them a track and evangelize. I said, thank you? People, most people were not in a hurry. They wanted to talk, and it was beautiful. These three young guys went in, these three young black guys, tall, gold chains, and I went up to them and started talking. Man, they're just like into it. They're this is great. They're all believers, they're all musicians in their church. And the kid goes, thank you for doing this. He walks in, he's walking backwards into the store. This is bread for us. He goes, this is bread. He's got the track. This is bread. And I'm thinking, this is amazing. This is amazing. This other woman, she was from the Dominican Republic, and talking to her. And, you know, you could tell God was talking to her. She was like just frozen there listening intently. And then at the end she said, I know that. It's like everything I said, she said, I know that. And I just said, but something's in the way, right? She said, yes. And I just said, you know, it's not worth it. Whatever it is, it's not worth hanging on to and not having Christ. And so the seed was planted, and may God, I prayed, after Andy and I, where's Andy? Andy and I prayed. Andy, you awake over there? Okay. And so we just prayed, Lord. I said, Lord, if I come back here next year, whenever, you know, because my mother lives in Fort Lauderdale, whenever I visit her, here I am. This church is such a gift. I said, Lord, if I'm back here next year, or whenever I'm back, I pray I would see her in church. Aww. So I don't remember her name, but anyways, may it be so. So in John 4:35, Jesus said, don't say 4 months and then the harvest. He said, the harvest is ready now. Lift up your eyes. The fields are ripe and ready for harvest. And we do it by faith. And God honors faith. I think of the church in Ecuador. We had the 30-year anniversary last week. And I was looking around and looking at people's faces, and from 30 years ago, many people weren't there, but many of the older people, well, they were older now, were there, and a lot of new faces in the church. And all I could say was the faithfulness of God. God did that. Remember, all the great things that happened through faith. I remember the time the immigration police came to the door, knocked at the door, on the door, and said, I answered the door. They said, you know, Senor Hadley. And I said, yes. They go, you have to leave the country. You have 72 hours to leave the country. And I said, but our lawyer has the papers, and he said everything's en trámite, and everything's bien, está bien, va adelante, todo bien bonito. He goes, well, it's been rejected. Rechazados. Firmen aquí. Sign here. Oh, okay. Go upstairs. Hey, guess what, guys? We got 3 days to leave the country. What? Been there about 6 months. Things are going. Things are happening. Okay, Lord, if this is doesn't make sense to us, but if this is the way it's supposed to go, but okay. So what do we do tonight? This is our soul winning night. So do we pack our suitcases or go soul winning? We're going soul winning. We go soul winning. We meet the church there at the park, the Parque San Francisco. And so there we are. It just so happens that Franklin Beltran, who is one of the church members, I told him what happened. One of his, somehow related to him, that he hadn't seen for quite a while, he meets him in the park just by coincidence, and he's a lawyer. And it just happens that his godfather is the head of Extranjería, in Quito, and he told him the story. He goes, I'll have your residency visas for you and your family within a month.
Wow.
And he did. So we went from being thrown out of the country to having our lifelong residency visas because at the moment of crisis, we just did the next thing. And the next thing was the answer to the problem. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
The next step of faith was the answer solution to the problem. It's amazing. So, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. We just do the next thing by faith. And it's in, the problem is God's, really. And he cares for us a lot more than we could ever care for ourselves. So Jesus said, so Jeremiah, don't say I'm a child. I called you, and I will do it through you. Jesus said to his disciples, don't say 4 months and then the harvest, John 4:35, because the harvest is ripe already to be picked. And then, this is a great one, Ezekiel 18:1-4. This has more to do with, you know, the way we speak to ourselves. It's kind of an interesting thing. God said, I want you to stop saying. This is what they were saying. The fathers ate sour grapes and our teeth are set on edge. What? Our fathers ate sour grapes and our teeth are the ones that are going, you know that sensation sometimes with your teeth when they get sensitive and it's a horrible sensation? And they were saying, they ate the grapes, but we got the sensation. And what they were saying is, our fathers sinned and we're the ones paying for it. God said, knock it off. He said, stop saying that. You are all responsible, he said, for your own life. And so stop shifting the blame to your fathers. You be responsible. You walk before me. And so, interesting, isn't it? And then finally, Jeremiah 3:16. I'd like to read this verse. Jeremiah 3:16. So, discouragement, right? The devil just, he doesn't tire trying to discourage us, to lead us off the narrow way, or giving ourselves liberties God hasn't given to us but that are going to get us in trouble. You know, those gray areas. Like Pastor Foster talked about last night, liberty. Liberty. Liberty is awesome. Liberty comes through Christ. We're not under the law. We walk in newness of life. We are free and we have that spirit within us. And so I'm not talking about that. That is a non-negotiable. But we just need to walk circumspectly and not as fools. And be very sensitive to the Spirit of God, because the devil is always whispering, trying to get us to walk in the margins instead of, you know, where we should be. He's trying to get us onto the shoulder of the road and eventually into the ditch is what he's aiming at. So this is what we have ahead of us as I finish. This is what is before us. And God doesn't say here, stop saying something, but he's just saying there will be no need to say this. And this is where we're going, and this is why God wants us to stay on the path and keep following. Because the day is coming when we will see him face to face. The day is coming when God wants to dish out the rewards. The day is coming. Remember Jesus said, store up for yourselves riches in heaven. It's a command. Store it up. I want you to store it up. Bring it on. Keep them coming in. I want to reward you the most I can. So that's what he says. And this is verse 16. This is what we have. Remember the ark of the Lord?
Yes.
And how precious. For Israel, the ark was everything. No one could touch it. You couldn't even see it. When they moved it, when the tabernacle was transported, it was covered with the curtains of the tabernacle. You couldn't even see the ark because it was so holy. Never mind touch it. If you touched it, you died. If you saw it, you died, because it represented the Shekinah glory of God. And so for Israel, the ark was everything. And even when Israel was, the southern kingdom of Judah was deep in sin, and they were right to a certain degree to think, as long as the ark is here, we are invincible. And they were right. But they were wrong in their sin, in their idolatry, and in their wicked practices. They were right. The enemy could not really come in and take them, but they didn't count on this, that God left. Ezekiel chapters 11 through 14. God left the tabernacle, the temple. God went up over the doorway, up over the mountains, and then he left. And he hasn't come back yet, but he will. He came back in Christ, but that is not the greater fulfillment of when God moves back into Jerusalem, actually through his son. So this is what it says, and it shall come to pass when you be multiplied and increased in the land in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done anymore. You know what? In that day, the ark is going to be meaningless. Not even going to mention it, think about it at all. You know why? You know why? Because God's going to be there. Okay, oh, the substance is here, but bring back the shadow. I don't think so. So this is what God has called us to. And he is the one that wants us to build up ourselves in our most holy faith. And this is part of how it happens, is to meet together, to speak to one another, to encourage each other, to keep receiving the word, to pray, to be built up and encouraged, winning souls and loving the lost and loving each other. And if we just keep doing this and continue in it, we're going to end up where we're supposed to be. Yeah. And so that's what God has called us to do. So be encouraged and receive the love of God. And that's it. So, Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, you don't want our excuses. You just want us. So, Lord, we throw ourselves upon your mercy and pray that you would guide us in the way that we should go. Encourage us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.